Last week we had a New Testament passage that talked about an Old Testament character named Melchizedek. And while Melchizedek was an actual hero of faith in the conventional use of the term, this week I want to look at a hero that's a contrast to Melchizedek. Not a hero for God or of our faith, but a hero for the rebels and what they believe in. A man by the name of Korah. And if you wish to follow along, go ahead and be turning to the book of Jude. We'll pick up in verse 11. Jude 11 is in the context of ungodly groups of people. In verse 4, the first ungodly group of people are labeled false teachers. Then those who refuse to believe in God in Egypt in verse 5. And then the last of those three groups of individuals or people are the angels who rebelled against the order that God had established in verses 6 through 10. And then we get to verse 11, which mentions three people specifically. Jude chapter 1 and verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the naysaying of Kor. He calls out three individuals by name, Cain, Balaam, and Kor. Kor is the New Testament translation of an Old Testament name, Korah, a direct reference to Numbers chapter 16 and 17, where Korah rebelled against God and led many people to their demise with his movement. If you want to go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 16, we'll pick up in verse 1 in just a moment. You see, Korah rebelled against God, and he got a large group of people to follow along with him. I want to look at this morning the story of the rebellion of Korah, draw some applications from it, and quickly we'll wrap things up for today. The thesis statement for this lesson, and the one thing to take away and remember, is that rebellion to God will never go unpunished, whether it be in this life or the next. There are many examples in the Old Testament where people rebelled against the authority or ordinances of God, and they were punished for it immediately. But there are many more that will be punished in eternity for rebelling against God, and we need to be careful of rebellion. I want to start off by number one, looking at the rebels' actions. The rebels' actions. If you're already there in Numbers 16, pick up in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 7. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves among the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spoke unto Korah and to all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Do this, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon yourselves, ye sons of Levi. You see, Korah was from the line of Levi. Levi were God's chosen people to lead Israel in a spiritual capacity, to serve in the tabernacle, later the temple. It was a very honorable position to behold. And then Korah gathered these men together, 250 of them, all famous, all notable men of renown of the assembly, to go against the leadership of Moses and Aaron, which, whether Korah realized it at the time or not, was rebelling against the authority of God. And when Korah asked Moses, Why have you lifted yourselves up among the Lord's people and above them? in verse 3. Moses in verse 4, upon hearing this, falls on his face out of grief. You see, Moses was a meek man, and he was burdened by the statement because Moses knew the repercussions that were going to come after it. Moses told the men, Korah and his 250 plus supporters, that tomorrow the Lord will show who are his when we bring our censers to the tabernacle. But why would Korah, a man from Levi, a leader in Israel's spiritual capacity, foment an insurrection against the leadership that God put in place? Which leads us to number 2, the rebel's purpose. The rebel's purpose. Continue in number 16, verse 8 with me. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought them near unto him, and all the brethren and the sons of Levi that were with them. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause, both thy and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eleb, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or giveth us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And it is very displeasing to Moses. And he said unto Jehovah, Turn not thou unto their present. Not one ass from them have I taken, nor have I afflicted one of them. You see, in this context, after everything that was said unto Moses and Aaron from Korah, he asks, Do you see your heritage as a small thing in your eyes? Moses is asking Korah this question. Do you see your privilege and ability and blessing to serve in the literal house of the Lord, the dwelling place of God on earth? Do you see that as a small thing? Of course, the answer to that should be no. But it seems as if Korah doesn't know what the answer is. Do you see your heritage as a small thing in your eyes to serve in the tabernacle? Because that was the reason they were going against Moses in the first place. They didn't want to serve in that capacity anymore. And they didn't want God's chosen leaders to lead them anymore. Then Moses calls out that God has chosen them to be close to him in his service. Going back to the whole purpose, the whole reason the Levites were chosen above anybody else, goes back to when they were led out of Egypt at the foot of Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. After this, the golden calf was erected, and Moses comes down and sees this atrocity going on. If you remember what happens, it was the sons of Levi that stepped up and took care of, got rid of, those that were teaching false doctrine, those that were bringing in idolatry to the assembly of God's people at the foot of the mountain. Mind you, they were in the presence. They were just right down the mountain from the presence of the glory of the Lord. And what did they do? They erected a golden calf and worshipped it, saying it was God and not the one who was atop the mountain. It was Levi and those from Levi that sought to get rid of and purge the idolatry, the false teaching. And that was the reason they were chosen. And now, further down the line from Levi, you have Korah going against that privilege, that blessing. Maybe he, like Esau, despised the blessing, his birthright that he had. But now he desires the leadership position Moses and Aaron have. And in verse 11, he basically asks, "Who are you to come against the Lord?" Then Moses calls for Dathan and Abiram, who responded to the question that was asked to Korah, "Who are you to come against the Lord?" by saying to Moses and Aaron, "Who are you to bring us, the Israelites, out of the land of milk and honey, the promised land, unto the desert," where they were at that time, "to kill us?" And then he doesn't stop there. He says, "And above all that, you make yourself a leader above all of us." You see, Moses was very displeased in verse 15. And he said to God, "I've done nothing wrong against these people. I haven't taken from them. I've done nothing against them." Verse 15. You see, Korah wanted to leave his position of service and take Moses and Aaron's leadership role for himself or for his followers. That was his purpose. He wished to lead a coup, to rebel against God's plan, and to take what he wants over what was needed from him. Such an error cannot go unpunished, right? So let's look at lastly number 3, the rebel's punishment. This takes place in Numbers 16, verse 16 through 50. A lot of verses to cover, and for time's sake, we won't read through every verse of this section, but a few choice ones. In verses 16 through 22, Korah, plus his 250 followers, men of renown, Moses and Aaron, all gather together to bring censers with incense burning within them to the door of the tabernacle of the Lord. Then in verses 23 through 30, Moses separates the people from the rebels' tents, from their camp. He goes to the leaders of each individual camp and he pleads with them to leave the camp of the wicked men in an effort to protect the innocent from the punishment of the wicked. After that, let's pick up in verse 31. Let's read through verse 35 together. "And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive unto the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were around about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense." The Lord did not let this rebellion go unpunished in the slight least. He would not have it. People questioning who Moses and Aaron are to make the decisions are questioning God, because God put them there. God chose them in the first place. Going back to the beginning of the book of Exodus, Moses was chosen first, and then Aaron was to tag along to help Moses in all that he did. Then in verses 36 through 40, the censers are taken up again to be used for holy uses. Then let's pick up again in verse 41, and let's read through verse 45. Numbers 16, 41 through 45. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto them, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces." You see, God's people complained about God bringing justice to his people, to purge the wickedness from the camp. God's people were rebelling against that, just like Korah did. And then lastly, in verses 46 through 50, Aaron stays a plague to stop the spread, to protect the innocent. You see, this unique form of God's displeasure was designed to make a lasting impression on the people. In verses 41 through 50. And then, in the next chapter, in chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, God then proposed that 12 rods with names inscribed on them, each representing the one of the 12 tribes of Israel, to be laid in the tent of meeting. Then he told Moses in verse 5 of number 17, "And it came to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you." It's funny because God went above and beyond what he said he would do, like he normally does. The next day, Aaron's rod not only had budded, but it had also produced blossoms and bore ripe almonds for the taking. You see that in 17 verse 8. Never again would there arise a question about God's choice of leadership and service in this temple. Verse 10. And if it did, those who question God's choices would always have this example of what happens to those who rebel against God and his ordinances. There are just three things that I want us to take away from the life and lesson of Korah, and things we learn about both Korah, God, and the church today. The first thing is that there are still people just like Korah in the world today. Those who go against God's leaders, which is the whole reason why Jude was written in the first place. In Jude 11, there were stated three people: Cain, Balaam, and Korah. There is a reason for mentioning. The author didn't just choose those people meaninglessly, but he chose them because Cain was devoid of love even for his physical brother. Balaam taught the meaninglessness of sin, which of course we know is false. And Korah was careless in regards to the ordinances of the Lord and was insubordinate to God's leaders. We need to recognize that false teachers today are like these men combined, devoid of love, devaluing the weight and atrocity that is sin, and are regardless to the ordinances of God and rebel against God's leaders, the leaders of the church. And some of these men, like Korah, were accepted by many, and are. They leave a lasting impact on the world like Cain did, and all of them have the foolish boldness that Balaam had. The second thing to take away is that God will never tolerate rebellion. And you cross-reference with that 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. In the context of God rejecting Saul, he says in 1 Samuel 15, 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry, and iniquity. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." The third takeaway is that when Christ Jesus returns in his glory, rebellious people and disobedient people will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. You see, rebellion is something that we should not take lightly. It is something that we should understand not only happened back in the days of Korah and the Levitical priesthood, but it's something that happens around us every day. People are living in open rebellion to God, realizing that they are living in contrast to what God wants for them, and they take pride in that. They glory in the fact that they are going to hell. You ask some people where they will spend their eternity, and with a smile on their face, they say or start making jokes about how they'll spend eternity in hell. That is not something to joke about. That is not something to take lightly. Most likely it is because people do not understand the reality of it. The pain, the separation from being away, being apart from the glory of the power and the presence of the Lord. Often the picture is painted of hell as being a place of fire and brimstone. And while in some respects that may be true, those are also words representing physical things to talk about and reference a spiritual realm. Just like how heaven won't be physical streets of gold, hell might not actually be a place of fire, but instead one of darkness, and the pain of separation will be what tortures us so much. We'll talk about that at another day. I hope that this has made you think about Korah and his foolishness, about how people will quickly follow a leader just because of their position, their rank, their clout, their renown. Hopefully this has also made you think about Moses and his meekness that he had, how he dealt with this so well. Just as he said, he didn't do anything to anybody. He didn't take, he didn't steal, he didn't mistreat. There are definitely lessons to be learned from the personal tact that Moses had. And hopefully this has made you think about the righteousness of God and his mighty justice and how it will always come. May we live not having to fear the justice of God, but instead live righteous in our faith and in our walk in his grace, never abusing his grace, dwelling in the shadow of the cross, glorifying God in and with our lives. May we strive to not be like Korah, Cain, Balaam, or any of those who rebelled against God. I appreciate you listening today. Hope you have a blessed day.